I'm at the Casbah with...
Hey, this is Dimitri from Burning Brides.
Well, I get higher and higher. Been away for a long, long time now. Once you're back, you will see what I've become.
You guys recently released your third album, Hang Love. How does this album show the development of the band since the fall of the Plastic Empire?
This album is our heaviest record, you know. I think when we first started out, we were spazzier and more garagey. And as we've developed, you know, we've come into a more of a grounded sound, a little bit more metal, hard rock, still a lot of melody, but touring with bands like Queens of the Stone Age and Mastodon, I think, rubbed off a little on us.
Yeah. Well, Hang Love is self-released. What prompted you guys to avoid a label this time and do it on your own?
We saw that the label V2 wasn't doing so well, and we wanted to jump ship before the thing sank, you know? Mm-hmm. So we were able to leave with a little bit of money, and we made a record ourselves before we tried to, you know, get a deal or anything like that. We just wanted to make a record. This is the record we would have made if we were on, you know, V2 or whatever other label would have us. But we feel like more and more it's the smart thing to do for bands to release their own stuff, especially if you have a little bit of a following. Oh. Going through that whole getting processed and ground up in that big machine, you know, we obviously made some connections and toured with a lot of bands, so it's not like we're starting over, although we did take a lot of time off trying to figure out how to do this and just dealing with some personal stuff. I mean, we could have easily broken up, but, you know, I think what makes this album so cool is that it's our best record. It deals with a lot of that, making it through the other side, surviving, reinventing ourselves, getting to the core of who we are and, you know, how we sound. And, you know, I think we know more about what Burning Brides is now than we ever did. I think part of that's just comes from growing up and getting your shit together.
So are you guys comfortable with putting out the record on your own? Is this something you'd like to continue doing in the future, or do you think you'll revisit the labels?
Well, I mean, you know, the first time around we released Fall of the Plastic Empire ourselves, and we toured on that for about a year, and then all of a sudden we were in a bidding war, and we didn't really expect any of that stuff to happen, so that was fun to have a lot of money for a while. Mm-hmm. But it didn't really do much for us. We're still, you know, playing, here we are at the Casbah. We opened for a lot of big bands, and then we would come back to town, and, you know, we only did one headlining tour the whole time. This is the second headlining tour we've ever done in the 6 years that we've been a band or whatever it's been. We're really, really excited about just getting back to finding out who our audience is, as opposed to always being the sort of the hot opening band, you know, to the bigger bands. And that was fun. It gives you the illusion that you're bigger than you are when you walk on stage in front of 10,000 people every night. You know, you walk off the stage and you hear that roar, and it's like, well, when we come back to this town, there's going to be 600 people here to see us. It's just not the case, you know. Uh-huh. It doesn't necessarily translate it back into the clubs. The bands that really make a living doing this have found they're connected with their own audience. We were just really green and naive when we first got signed, and I think everything happened so quickly, and then we got really fucked up, and we had to wait for the smoke to clear, and dust ourselves off, and figure out what we wanted to do next. Now I feel like any kind of success that comes our way, we'll appreciate it a lot more. And we look at it like a mobile small business, like if you had a record store on wheels or something, you know. Mm-hmm. Just want to make a living. It's not, we're not trying to be like some band that's going to take over the world, which when you walk into a big situation, people are throwing money at you and stuff, and you're opening for all these huge bands, you start to think bigger.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that couldn't happen. This record's killer, but we don't have the big bucks behind us anymore. We have to be a little craftier as to how we get it out there, you know? But what's cool is that we went straight to a distribution company and went right to Caroline and was like, hey, we made this record, we put it out. They said, yeah, we'll not only put it out, but we'll give you money. They almost acted like a label. But we own the masters, and, you know, we make the lion's share of the money. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool. I mean, if we sell 50,000 records doing it this way, my wife and I are gonna go look to buy a house, you know what I mean? Whereas 50,000 records on a major would be a huge failure, you know? So there's less pressure, and it's cool. You know, we're more involved in every aspect of what goes on. We're more hands-on, and it's just a lot more fun. It's a lot more work. Mm-hmm. But, you know, every sticker and every poster just came from doing that in-store at Lou's Records. It just means that when we come back to all these different towns, you know, there'll be more of a bigger footprint left behind, I think, than if we just rolled up in a big tour bus and, you know, played for 20 people or whatever, which we've done in the past, like fucking idiots. But we didn't know any better. It's like, hey, you want to be in a bus? Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. You just learn, like anything else in life, you just learn from your mistakes and you pick up the pieces and move on. And I think it's made for better art, better music, you know, better live show. We're just healthier and happier and just more psyched now than ever in some ways. And this is our first band, so we just love it. We don't want to do anything else.
Well, having been in the music industry, do you have any views on how the industry as a whole is going right now?
I think everybody's a little confused. You know, living in Los Angeles, I'm obviously surrounded by people in the industry, and I've watched you know, good friends of mine lose their jobs. To watch Capitol Records go under is kind of a crazy thing, you know? I mean, you're talking about the Beatles label. And I don't think anybody knows exactly what to do as far as how to sell records. It's hard to get people out to shows, and labels certainly don't have as much money to play with as they used to. So what happens in that situation is everybody scrambles to find the next, you know, flavor of the month or whatever, you know. Like you pick up, let's say, a magazine like Alternative Press, which I thought used to be pretty decent, you know, and now it's just like, I don't know any of these bands. They all look like little kids with makeup and eyeliner, and, you know, they have the same straight black hair. It's just like Hot Topic bullshit mall, you know, fucking emo punk crap, you know?
Right.
But I guess it's what the MySpace kids are into. I don't fucking know. But what's cool about it is, yeah, there are too many bands now. Everybody's in a fucking band. But the fact that people can probably make a great record in their garage with Pro Tools or whatever is a cool thing. And to be able to put it up on the internet and have an immediate reaction is, that's pretty badass. I just hope that the good stuff always will make its way to the top. It's easy to get congested, you know, with a bunch of crappy bands.
Two of the tracks off of Hang Love are kind of different because you wrote them through someone else's perspective, which was Unglued and Warring Street. And I just thought it was interesting. Is that something you like to do when you write lyrics, or something you like to explore with more?
Yeah, I mean, I always try to figure out who the character of the song is, you know? Even if it's a personal song, it's not necessarily me that I'm singing about. I used to be an actor, you know, before I was doing this, and I guess it rubbed off a little bit, you know? I sort of take the David Bowie approach or whatever, just like, you know, who is this person singing this song? You know, Warring Street's kind of like some guy in Los Angeles in the summertime, riding his bike around the park at night. He's a serial killer, you know, but he's really charming, and just like, well, if this was a movie, you know, what would this, you know, just get deeper into, like, this guy's thinking. Think about how killing makes him happy.
Here comes your ride down Warring Street. Here comes your
tone on this record, you know. I'm hanging from my neck on the album cover, but it's not all gloom and doom, you know. Dario Argento, you know, makes beautiful horror movies. They're just gorgeous. I mean, they're just filmed beautifully, and there's humor to it. And we've always been interested in combining, like, melody and beauty with, like, heavy metal and stuff that's just really fucked up, you know. And Unglued is, like, that's a love song. It's a love song, you know, played through a huge stack of amplification. I think that's it. It's like we're not afraid of, like, having good songs, you know. It's confused some people, I think, because, you know, if you come to see our show or you listen to one of our records, you may think, oh, are they a metal band? Are they a punk band? Are they a pop band? No, we're just a rock band. Mm-hmm. And all our favorite records from our favorite bands were like that. It would be acoustic songs on a Zeppelin record or a Stones record or a Beatles record, and they'd jump into like Helter Skelter or something. We've always prided ourselves on being able to do anything we want. But the further we go, you know, the more we know not only what we want, but I think, you know, what this band should sound like. It's becoming clearer to us, like focusing a camera. Just like, oh yeah, this is Burning Brides, you know. I think some of the other stuff that I've written, you know, I'm starting to realize, like, not everything has to be Burning Brides. That can be something else. And then the songs that are have that certain dichotomy to them of the heaviness, but the melody as well, you know, those would be like Burning Brides songs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also read that the title track, Hang Love, might be about the death of rock and roll. And so I was wondering, do you think rock and roll is dead? And if it is, can it ever come back?
I would love for some young band to come along, not like the Arctic Monkeys or anything, something like, you know, the next Nirvana. The time is kind of ripe for it. You know, everything just feels like what's popular is like this kind of 80s, angular, dancey stuff, which is, you know, it's all fine. You know, I like Wire and Gang of Four is cool and all that, but I want to know, like, where's the next Soundgarden, you know? Where's the next Alice in Chains, the next Guns N' Roses, the next something that's sort of, you know, not borderline cheesy or whatever. Like, Van Halen was a great band, you know? But they crossed certain lines as far as, like, being kind of cheesy or whatever, you know? But there is something that's exciting about a band that celebrates in like the mythology of rock and roll and has like a dark sexuality to the whole package. And just very few bands these days feel dangerous to me, and I guess we're trying to be something like that, like a cross between Van Halen and the Pixies or something, you know. That's what we're always trying to mix up, things that maybe don't go right together, you know. But that's what our range and taste is, and we just throw it all in and hope for the best. Mm-hmm. But more and more, you know, I just think we're really arriving at something unique, especially these days. Just aren't too many great rock bands. I mean, name me an important rock band that's out there, like, really making waves. You know, I could name, like, Queens of Stone Age is obviously a bigger rock band that we look up to and we've toured with. I guess if you like Tool, you're pretty psyched. I'm just not blown away by too much. Compared to, like, how many bands there used to be in the 90s, you know, playing heavy rock and roll, I mean, it's just, it's kind of gone away. I don't think it's dead. It just, you know, just, we're in a lull right now. These kids will snap out of it, you know? Angeles, I see a lot of young Mexican kids with super long hair on skateboards, and they all are wearing like metal t-shirts all over the place, and that gives me hope. You know, metal's in some ways, you know, that's the way things have gone. I mean, you know, we've toured with Mastodon, we've seen how they've taken off, and just how that whole metal scene has just exploded, and that's cool. I mean, that's rock and roll to me. Gotta have great songs, you know. It's always looking for, no matter what, it can be fucking totally brutal, but is the song good? And maybe, you know, we're old-fashioned in that sense. Mm-hmm. But that's what we look for. And Nirvana had great songs, you know. Soundgarden had great songs. I guess we just missed that era. Like, I mean, I wouldn't say that we're like a grunge band or whatever, but, you know, that's just kind of where we're coming from, as far as, like, that's the era of music that got us excited to pick up instruments and try to do this, was growing up in the early 90s. And we miss that feeling. And that's when music was exciting to us. I'm just not excited about much these days. So we get excited about what we do.
Well, speaking of Nirvana and great bands, you guys have contributed to a couple of Nirvana tribute albums. And what made you...
Just one that I know of.
Oh, I saw another one.
Really?
Yeah, I saw two. But I could be wrong, so...
That was the first thing we ever recorded. I mean, that was a long time ago. That's before we even recorded Fall of the Plastic Empire. And we got asked to be on a record with Agent Orange and Dee Dee Ramone and, like... UK Subs and all these bands, you know, mm-hmm. like Flipper, I think, is on it as well. We're like, sure, you know. So we did Something in the Way.
Underneath the bridge, tarp has sprung a leak, and the animals I've trapped have all become my pets, and I'm living. Drippings from the ceiling. It's okay to eat fish, 'cause they don't have any feelings. Something in the way.
Good. I actually listened to it the other day,
yeah.
And it's like, it's not so bad, you know, it's pretty cool.
Well, you guys did a couple of shows with Wolf Mother, I guess a month ago or so.
Yeah.
I was just wondering how that went, because I kind of see that band being similar to you guys in the dynamic and everything, so I was just wondering how the shows went.
I'm happy for the success that they have, you know. I mean, they're a rock band, and they're a trio, and the guy's got curly hair. You know, so it's like, all right, well, cool. I wasn't that impressed with them live. And I got the record, and I like that one song, Woman, but I thought the rest of it was kind of hokey. Again, that's not what I'm looking for. You know, I'm looking for something else. I'm not even saying it's us, you know what I mean? I'm just like, something that's going to just blow my mind, reinvent rock and roll, you know, for me. And make me, you know, honestly, you want to know the truth? The closest thing we have to like a Bob Dylan or like a true, like the real deal, I think, is Jack White. I think that guy, more than anyone else, as far as rock music goes, that guy's I look up to the most. And that was actually our first tour ever. It was with them. And we were label mates and stuff. And it's not really a band, you know what I mean? It's like, and the, what's that other band he has? Rock on Tours, that's all right, you know? But he's a badass. Going back to Wolf Mother, yeah, whatever. I mean, it's okay. Australia has way better bands than that. You know what I mean? Or a history of way better bands. But it's good. I mean, it's fucking great that a rock band like that, you know, plays guitars and has slightly aggressive songs, won a Grammy or whatever. It's cool. I'd rather it be them than fucking Maroon 5 or some bullshit. There's room for everybody.
I read that you have a Mark Fuqua guitar.
Fuqua.
And that this one is super unique because it's got a drop of blood in the paint. Is that true?
Yeah, yeah. You hear a lot of stories, like, growing up of, like, you know, Brian May from Queen. You know, he and his father made his guitar out of a tree that was struck by lightning. I sort of feel like I have... special guitars like that now, because this guy, I would take my repairs to him in LA, and all the cool bands like go to this guy, you know, and like He makes really cool custom guitars. Queens of the Stone Age plays his guitars. And I just gave him a copy like a year ago, unmastered, of Hang Love, and he started coming out to the shows. He was just like really into what we were doing. And I was playing this cheap Unibox Most Right copy, and he wanted to find out what it was that I liked about that guitar and like make a very fancy version of it. So I'm pretty happy with what he came up with. And yes, he did put a drop of his blood into the paint of one of the guitars, and it made the color very weird. It's hard to describe. He calls it vampire black, and he'll never do it again.
Well, speaking of instruments, how do you feel about bands who demolish their guitars on stage after a performance?
I think it's great. Nirvana used to do it, and I thought it was even better that they used to do it when they had no money. It's just fucking cool, and punk rock, and we've never done that. It's just never even occurred to us. I'm kind of like a geek, you know, when it comes to collecting records and stuff like that, and I'm just such a fan of rock and roll. I don't like to destroy things. And certain things, you may have like three of the. You could bring in a truckload of Marshall heads, you know. The way AC/DC did when they made Back in Black, and they just went through a whole semi truck of Marshall heads, and you know, found the two or three out of the hundreds that sounded the way they wanted it to sound. And I sort of feel like the guitars that I play, you know, are somewhat irreplaceable. You know, I could find other ones like that, same color and everything, but they're not going to sound the same. Certain instruments, certain amps, that just have a little bit of mojo to them. If you find one that speaks to you, buy it. If you're at a record store and you see a really rare record, and you're like, ooh, you know, God, I've been looking for that record, but it's $40, you know, like, I really only want to pay $20 for it. Just fucking buy it, because chances are you'll never see it again.
You also worked on Chris Cornell's latest album, Carry On. How was working with him, and would you like him to collaborate on any of the Burning Brides' upcoming releases?
Well, he's a big Brides fan. I mean, I gave him Hang Love, and he was totally into it. Like, texted me, like, what are the song titles? Because I just burned him one. He's like, I gotta know the song titles and stuff. And yeah, I recorded 4 songs with him, and it was just a real joy, you know, to sit around with that guy and, like, really develop a friendship. It's a trip to, like, work on somebody else's songs for a change and try to, like, add my thing to what he's doing. And he's just a sweet fucking dude and a genuine rock star, like, for real. You know, he's the real thing. And I learned a lot about the way he just trusts people to bring what strengths they have to the table, as opposed to, like, the way I've been in the past with my band, which is just, like, order everybody around and, you know, have a short fuse and stuff. But I'm a lot better now, you know. Like I said before, he didn't used to be like that either. You learn. You learn, like, how to fucking... Running this band is like being the president of a company, you know? And you learn how to treat people, and, you know, it's like make relationships. Like, when we walk into this club here tonight, I could go up to the bartender and be a dick, or I can be like, hey, what's up? You know, my name's Dimitri. How you doing? Oh, you know, my name's so-and-so. And I was, I'm playing tonight, and I'd like a water, you know? Like, instead of just come like, hey, where's the fucking water, you know? Like, we fucking drove all this way. Where's the fucking this and that? I've just found out that, like, it doesn't pay to be a dick, you know? Nobody gives a fuck about you, really. Rock and roll's about vibe. What I'm learning is, even if you have a bad show, you can walk off the stage and you can be a prima donna. And like, oh, I couldn't hear my fucking vocals, and like, I had such a shitty show, I don't want to talk to anybody. Like, that's stupid, you know? It's like, your job is to throw a party. Before the show, after the show, it's only rock and roll, like the Stones say. Nobody really knows if you played a bad show. You just, afterwards, just put it behind you and like go out and talk to people. And that's how you make fans.
What is your ultimate goal for the Burning Brides? What would you like to see happen with the band?
We just really want to get to the point where we can someday play for like 1,000 people everywhere we go in the world. you know, and make enough of a living to just keep putting out records and touring and just really concentrate on that and nothing else.
Well, I always end my interviews with the same three quick questions, so I'm just going to ask those real quick. Do you have a slang term that you overuse?
Well, one that's been going around a lot on this tour is this porno star that is his catchphrase. He was on Howard Stern. He's just like, dropping fucking loads. For some reason, we even got Melanie saying it. It's hilarious.
Right, what's your drink of choice?
It used to be Guinness, but I don't drink anymore because it leads me down dark hallways and around dark corners behind dumpsters. So I'm on what's called the marijuana maintenance program. That's all I do. And it's working for me pretty good. Keeps me out of trouble, keeps me healthy. It's great for writing songs and puts a smile on my face. It mellows me out. So now I guess my drink of choice is either ginger ale or in the morning when I get up, I put filtered ice cubes in a blender with fresh squeezed orange juice, a banana, some strawberries, some raspberries, a couple slices of pineapple, blend that up and drink it. And that's really gets me going.
And lastly, how do you feel about eyeliner?
I think it's great if Robert Smith wears it. I think a lot of these kids look ridiculous. That and beards. You know, it's like all these kids in their 20s wearing beards throughout their whole 20s. It's like, you know, you're going to look back and go, God damn it, why did I cover up my face in my 20s? That was when I looked good.
Do you have any final words for your fans or someone listening to this?
Just go out and buy Hang Love. We really believe that it's one of the most important rock albums of the year, and we really feel like we're one of the most important rock bands in the world, whether anyone realizes it or not. We are kind of celebrating the death of rock and roll, so come out to the funeral with us. And I could